Hey there, hi there, ho there, it is the Crowcast. I am Crow, so very glad you are joining me. Things that suck the air out of the room. That's what I'm talking about today, honey. Things that suck the air out of the room. And you all know what I'm talking about, okay? Y'all do. Because there's so much of it going on nowadays that we can't breathe. I know that phrase means a lot these days. George Floyd. And us not being able to breathe. But this morning, I made the mistake of trying to consume media. And that's a mistake because media is giving oxygen. I actually need these. Media is actually giving oxygen to all the wrong things. And subsequently, it is making it very, very hard to breathe. Case in point, Liz Cheney, a senator from Wyoming. She is going to be ousted in her leadership role in the Senate. So frickin' what? You know, all I've heard about all day on MSNBC, on CNN, on Fox News, Republicans, 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 and Donald Trump. And if I hear one more time about the biggest threat to the American democracy, oh my God. So Liz Cheney being ousted is the biggest threat to American democracy. The voter laws going into effect in Texas are the biggest threat to the American democracy. The Florida Ron DeSantis voter laws in Georgia are the biggest. How many biggest threats? It's like a bad disaster movie where there's an asteroid coming, then there's an earthquake, and then there's a storm, and they're each the biggest threat to Earth. Well, which one really is the biggest threat? And if these are such big threats that our democracy is hanging in the balance, then why the hell isn't someone doing something other than complaining on the news or on Twitter or on Facebook? Why isn't the federal government stepping in? Or why aren't there insurrections like the ones that they threw on January 6th? And why? Can you tell me why? Why do we keep giving the GOP air? If we want it to die, and we do, then why on earth are we giving it oxygen and all the oxygen in the room? Joe Biden's policies, Kamala Harris' policies, all of those things, they get 5 minutes, 5 seconds, five whatever. And then back to nonstop GOP, GOP, evil, evil, GOP, big threat to democracy, GOP, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. You know, forgetting about things can be helpful. Okay, putting them on the back burner. Putting them on the back of your mind. We're going to be talking about that today in a very personal segment that I hope you don't get bored with. But my weekend was spent in hell, basically, in the hell of my own mind. And it's because I was giving oxygen to things that don't deserve the air. Okay? I was giving oxygen to things that do not deserve the air. And it suffocated me all weekend long. I couldn't breathe. And so in the news, what's in the news? Stuff that we shouldn't be giving any oxygen to at all. And yet we are on the chest of the GOP. The GOP is floundering and dying, and we are giving it CPR. No, no, don't go, don't go. What will we talk about then? I mean, it is a child. I mean, really, this. If the GOP was a beached whale, we keep trying to push it back into the ocean. Why? Let its fat ass stay up on the beach, flounder, and die. It's not a whale. It's not something crucial. It's not something we love. We are keeping alive a party that hates us, that is full of Nazis, actual Nazis, you know, actual extremists, actual people that believe in oligarchs. They believe in monarchies and autocracies. We actually are giving oxygen to the enemy. The GOP is the, as I've heard today, the greatest threat to democracy, the greatest threat to democracy. Then why on earth are you talking 24/7 about them? Do something or shut the F up. Either don't talk about them at all or do something about them. But giving them all this air, giving them all this oxygen, what good does it do? Honey, this is not someone where you roll. The GOP is like someone who has OD'd. And they did. They OD'd on their own filth. Donald Trump was their opiate, and they took him, baby. They swallowed him whole. Oh, not even Melania would do. Well, it wouldn't take much when we hear from Stormy Daniels. But, you know, they swallowed him whole. Or swallowed his whole. Whatever the case might be. Someone's whole got swallowed. and I believe it was Donald Trump. They ate him up. He's a buffet. They eat off of him. That's from Wanna Be Starting Something by Michael Jackson. You're a buffet. You're a vegetable. They eat off of you. You're a vegetable. He wanted to be starting something, and he was the buffet, and they, baby, they lined up to that buffet. No sneeze glass either. They don't care. They just, you know, ask Taylor Dane. She was there. So we are keeping keep Trump alive. You know, Jesse Jackson said keep hope alive. Now it's keep Trump alive. Keep him alive in the news. So he starts a microblog. So what does everyone do? Reports on it. So everyone goes to the microblog. Why not report on mine? It's a much better place, reallycorrell.com. Why on earth would you send people to Donald Trump's microblog? Leave Trump. Just leave Trump alone. Pretend he's Britney Spears. Leave him alone. Okay? Just leave him alone. Don't report on his every move. Don't report on his visitors. I could care less who goes to Mar-a-Lago unless it's, you know, the specter of death. Unless some guy in a robe with a sickle, you know, shows up, then I might care. Other than that, I could care less who goes to that overpriced enclave in Florida to visit him. I could care freaking less. Why are we giving the GOP AIR in our news media, in our television, in our newspapers, out in public? Stop talking about them. Act like they're gone. Okay? Pretend they're your parents. Don't ever talk about them or call them. Kidding. Although Mother's Day was yesterday, and unfortunately that is the day that we reserve for calling our mothers. If I had a mother, I'd call her every day. When I had a mother, I called her every day. Now that she's gone, I talk to her every day. But pretend there's something you don't like. Pretend they're vegetables. Pretend they're fruits. You know, you don't seem to like those. You're not eating much of those. Pretend there's something you don't like. Pretend they're the evil people that they are. And stop breathing air into them. Child, we're acting like they are a deflated raft at the river. We are just blowing them up, and they got that little tiny thing. Those big-ass rafts that got that little tiny blower-upper thing. What is that called? Nozzle, spigot, stem, whatever. And, you know, you practically hyperventilate when you blow. Well, now they got pumps. But, see, we were poor back in the day. So if I wanted a raft, I had to blow it up. And, yes, I would hyperventilate and turn blue by the time but then I'd collapse on the raft and get in the pool. We keep blowing them up. They keep deflating, and we just keep blowing them up, blowing them up. Why stop? Stop. In the name of love, they broke the country. Stop giving them air. Because when you give bad things oxygen, bad things happen. Trust me. Trust me on this. And we are giving them oxygen. We are, every news story that's they're the biggest threat to democracy, then take them out. You know what? If they were a foreign country and we kept saying they are the biggest threat to America, we'd take them out. We launched a, 2,700-year war against the Afghanis who now are being slaughtered because we're leaving. We don't care. You helped us for 14 years. That's nice. Bye. Be killed. How many schoolgirls were blown up today just because they were women going to school in Afghanistan? More than in America that were shot. Isn't that something? We had more people killed in Afghanistan at a school today than in America. Now, that's a record. 7 more dead in Colorado. What is wrong with Colorado? People be killing everybody out in Colorado with guns. What is up with that? Don't go. Right now, stay out of Colorado. So we're giving air to this evil party. I mean, just evil party. And what we're not giving air to is the positive. You know, there's an old song. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. We haven't eliminated the negative, and we are certainly not accentuating the positive, honey. Unless I'm positive that we hate the GOP. Beto O'Rourke was just on MSNBC. These voting rights laws in Texas are the greatest threat to our democracy. But I heard that last week about Ron DeSantis signing the one in Florida, and I heard that the week before about Georgia. There are so many greatest threats to our democracy, I'm amazed we got a democracy. Honey, if I had all the threats that democracy does, I'd leave the country. If I were democracy, I would pack my bags and go. It's too dangerous in America. Too many threats. Everything can't be the greatest threat to democracy. Some might be minor, some might be... But if they're all the greatest threat, then take them on. Get rid of them. Take them out. You know what you do to a threat? You take it out. So what's going on? If these voter laws are a huge threat to democracy, get Congress and the Senate to take them out. Make federal voting. Well, voting's up to the states. then do everything you can to remove the governors, remove the legislators, whatever, take them out. Now, I know a lot about giving the negative air and how it can affect you, because for some reason this weekend, Saturday day, I decided to research the health condition that the only health condition that I have, and it's major. Now, I'm going to explain my health condition to you and explain why giving the negative all the air was horrible. And you might do this in your life, and you need to stop. I have what is classified by cardiologists as an aortic aneurysm. That is a scary, scary phrase, okay? Now, what it means is my aorta up here on the left side going into my heart is getting wider. And the top range is supposed to be 3.8 minus 4.2. If it reaches 5.0, they send you to a surgeon, and at 5.5, they operate, and it is open heart surgery. So I knew this, okay? But this weekend, I decided to look into the actual surgery because I figured, well, they say it may never happen. It may never grow that big, but if it does, you have to have the surgery. So I thought, well, let's look in, because I guess I was bored, but I don't know. You know, let's look into the surgery. What is the surgery? Oh, Lord have mercy. Don't do that. Because then you start reading about 5 to 7% of the people not even making it through the surgery, only 85% surviving past 5 years, on and on. And, of course, none of that is quantified by which people were healthy before, which people were younger. No, it's just all these stats. So I got all these stats, and suddenly I was dead in 7 years. Within 7 years, I had myself dead, and I mean that, or going through open-heart surgery. I was already torn about Ember being away from me for a week, you know, or if I died, or, oh, the whole weekend, all I did with my friends was talk about, you know, I'm really scared about my future. I don't, if I have to have this surgery, I don't want to die in my 60s. You know, I want to live. I like my life. I like, you know, Ember. I love Ember. I love my listeners. I want to live. And I really felt like I had like maybe 3 to 5 years. If that, I go back in June, it could have already grown. I could literally need open heart surgery in the next year. There's no gauge to how quickly it will grow. Now, I'm doing all the right things. I am healthy. My blood pressure is 120 over 60, so it's completely controlled. I have removed all the pressure from the area. I exercise, I do the aerobics. So I've done everything it says to do, but I'm still worried that it's going to grow and I'm going to need the surgery. So all weekend long, I was basically dead. And I mean that. In my brain, this weekend, I died in 3 to 5 years. I went in for the surgery and I died on the table. I was even wondering, could I wear a virtual reality headset so the last thing I see isn't the inside of a room, so it's people I love in case I die. It was a horrible weekend of letting the negative in. I'm worried about Ember and her June 2nd tooth thing. That came into play. Oh, you might lose her and then have to go to the hospital yourself and have open heart surgery in a year or 2 years or 4 years or 6 months. So finally, this morning, I joined Mended Hearts. It is a support group for people that have things wrong with their heart, and there's a lot of people on there in my boat, people that have a 4.2 or right around there thoracic aortic aneurysm, and there's many, many that had the surgery already, and they're 1 year past it, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, and they're alive, and they're cross-country skiing, or they're swimming, or whatever. They lived. In fact, if you're under 70 and you have the surgery, I find out survival rate's like 94%. So, you know, beating the odds isn't that hard when it's 94% odds. So today I feel much better because I let in the positive. And I stopped giving dying an option. In other words, no, you're not going to die. You're going to live. You're going to live through the surgery. You're going to go through the hell of the 1 week in the ICU and, you know, a week recovering in the hospital and then 3 months at home recovering. You're going to do it. Should it ever be required? You're going to do it, and you're going to live. Why? Because you have to. Because you have no other choice. You don't want to check out. You want to be here for Ember. Oh, God, I was like, what if it's in 5 years, and she's 10 years old and never been away from me, and suddenly I have to, oh, all weekend long, racket, 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 racket. Why? Because I was giving the negative oxygen. And I was looking at it from the surgery is death, when actually the surgery is life. Instead of looking at it as, yes, you have a very serious condition, but you found out early and there's a treatment. That's not how I saw it all weekend. All weekend, instead of the biggest threat to the democracy, I saw the biggest threat to my life. And all I did was ruminate on it, on the negative. Not the positive, not you're healthier than you've ever been, you're a vegan, your heart's in great shape, your heart is not bad, it's just the hose that comes out of it. You know, instead of focusing on that, I was focusing on the operation means death or paralysis. If your spinal cord doesn't get enough blood during the surgery, you can lose your legs. Oh, I was like, I was already either paralyzed and doing a TV movie of the week, or I was dead. And I thought, what's going to happen to Ember? And you don't want to die in your 60s. I mean, your 80s or 90s, you know, okay. But your 60s? I had myself dead in 2 years. And really, I lived with that all weekend long. All weekend long. It was like, this is it. You better do whatever you want to do now, because guess what? In the next few years, you're going to have to go in for this surgery. And they haven't told me that, by the way. They've actually told me that I may never need the surgery, that it may never get that big, that in many, many, many people, it doesn't even get that big. But to me, none of that mattered. Nope, I'm having it, and I'm not living through it. Well, you're certainly not gonna with that attitude. See what I mean? Letting the negative in gave me one of the worst weekends I've had in a long time. Oh, I cried. I held Ember tightly. I retreated to the TV room and didn't talk to anybody. Oh, a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, because I let in the fear. I let it. And yeah, there's going to be plenty of fear. If I go in June and they say, oh, it's really grown, or you might be heading to surgery for like in a year or two. No one wants open heart surgery. But at the same time, people live through it every day. Bill Clinton had open heart surgery. You know, triple, quadruple bypass. They got to open you up for that. You know, so people live through it. I'm in this support group now for people that have lived through it. You know, it's not necessarily a death sentence. It is if you don't find it and it pops, then 70 to 80% of the people die. If you don't find your aortic aneurysm, whether up by your heart or down in your abdomen, if you've never, they never fought, find it, and it gets to 6.5 or 6.6 and it goes boom, that's it. Your chest literally fills up with all of your blood. Your chest gets huge, fills up with your blood, and there's nothing they can do. You're dead. So I'm not there, and they're not going to let me get there because I'm being monitored, and there is a surgery to fix it. So it's not, it's like, you know, when Daniel's mom got glioblastoma, they said, look, that we can't take the tumor out. We can go in and try to debulk it, but it's still going to be there, and you have about 12 to 14 months. I mean, there was no, like, you might live 2 years, 5 years. No, it was, if we debulk it, you'll have 12 to 16 months. If we don't, it could be 6 months or less. And so that is not what I am being told. And yet all weekend long, you would have thought they were lining me up for the gallows, child. Why? Because I gave the negative oxygen. Not just oxygen, honey. I put it on steroids. I gave it what that Kentucky Derby horse has. I mean, it was pumped up. My fear monster, it could have eaten the world. It ate my world. Oh, I was lamenting over Ember, and I was making Steve promise that he'd take her to work. Steve, if you inherit Ember from me, you can't not take her to work. You can't leave her alone for 6 hours. She's never about, I'll be dead. I won't even know. But yet I was already stressing about the outcome of a surgery that I don't even have scheduled. Letting the negative win. And that's what we're doing with the GOP. Because the GOP is a terminal cancer. And so either we debulk it, we get rid of it, we lessen its ranks and its power and its influence, or it's going to take over and win. It's just that simple. We are feeding it. And when you feed fear, after this weekend, I know how horrible that is. Well, we're feeding this terrible monster known as the GOP by giving it air. So we got to stop, child. We have to stop. And that leads me to what I wanted to talk about last. It sort of plays in. I also want to talk about the social media poll, but optimism. We don't have much in this country. We are not optimistic that the GOP is going to fail. We're not optimistic that they're not going to get back into power. We're not optimistic that Donald Trump is going to go away. We're not optimistic that the economy is going to get better. We're not optimistic that our lives are going to get better. We're not optimistic that we have enough money for retirement. We're not optimistic that we're going to survive through all of this. Even with COVID, we were not optimistic, many of us, that we were going to live. We thought, oh, I'm going to get the COVID. And optimism is the currency. It is the currency of life. When you run out of optimism at your bank, that's death. And I was dead all weekend long and didn't even know it because I had nothing to look forward to but negative. And that so many seniors, I know why now they kill themselves. I do. Because they're aging. They don't see a place for themselves. They have no optimism. They don't think the future is going to be anything but bad. And that's what I thought all weekend long, that my future was just going to be bad, that it would mean separation from Ember and possible death, surgery that was painful. If I did live through it, you know, the chances of dying in the first 30 days are pretty big. So I was already having anxiety about 2 weeks after the surgery, surviving, and then wondering if I was going to die at home. I didn't have optimism that I'm going to be okay. Look at me. I'm healthy. Okay? I jogged 5 miles this morning, including 200 feet up and down the side of a hill that's 25 foot. Up 3 times, up 9 times. I go up the side of a 20-foot hill 9 times. I do 3 in one area, 3 in another area, 2 in another area, and then 1 in another area. So up the side of this 25-foot hill, which is like at a 45-degree incline. So up this hill 9 times I did that today. My blood pressure right before the show was 117 over 60. I had a delicious Waldorf salad made with chickpeas and walnuts and apples, veganaise, lettuce. I had a sandwich with tofurkey and vegan cream cheese and just deliciousness, all of it healthy for me. I eat well. I exercise well. I love. I laugh. I'm the one that lives through the surgery. I'm one of the 85% that live. And the cool thing about this surgery, the one cool thing I did find out, that the surgery I need, if you live past the perioperative stage of 30 days, and then you live another 3 years after that, your life expectancy returns to whatever it was before the surgery. Meaning, if you didn't have the leak, the bulging aorta, you go back to that life expectancy. It doesn't shorten your life having the surgery if you survive the surgery. It actually, you go back to your normal life expectancy if you survive it. And 85% of the people survive it with no problem whatsoever other than rehab. And so I have to be optimistic or the doom will win. And we're not. And the doom has won. The doom has won. It is doomy and gloomy everywhere you go because we are not optimistic. We don't think that America's divides are ever going to be solved. We don't ever see ourselves as the United States. We are not optimistic that we will be the United States of America. We are not optimistic about much, and maybe we don't have much to be optimistic about, but even in the most dire situations, the people that get through it are the people that think they can. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to believe we can get through this horrible time in America. If we don't believe that, we will not get through it. And we're not, because we don't believe it. We don't feel it. We don't acknowledge that there is goodness. All we see is badness, bad people, bad behavior, you know, gun violence. We don't think we're ever going to get through the gun violence. 7 more dead in Colorado at a birthday party. He walks in and kills 6 people at the party and then himself. You know, just start with yourself, but whatever. We don't think we're ever going to solve that. There's no optimism there. There's no optimism about climate change. None of you really believe we're going to change the climate enough to save the planet. There is no optimism. There is an optimism shortage. And I'm telling you, as someone who went through a weekend of hell, I wish you all could have been here to hug me because, God, I needed it. Some of you are facing huge, huge illnesses, cancers, lupus, you know, things that will kill you. I might be facing a surgery to fix a problem, And once it's fixed, that's that. If it doesn't leak and if it's all good, then that's it. The problem is fixed. I don't ever have to have another heart surgery. Only 15% of the people that have the surgery ever have to have another surgery. You know, I don't, there's optimism there. I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see it because the fear monster came in. The same with the GOP. If they're this huge threat, then we have to be optimistic that we can beat them, and then we'll beat them. The other big threat, as I talked about with the GOP, where it's like, do something about it. A new poll came out. A majority of Americans feel that social media is one of the biggest things that divides our country and fuels what's going on. Social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that. Parler. We believe, as a nation, that it is bad for us, that it is dividing our country and causing political problems as well as social issues. And what do we do about it? We flock to frickin' social media. We know Facebook is dividing us, that Zuckerberg is an evil billionaire buying up Hawaii, self-centered, only cares about himself, not the planet, not you or me. And his platform is used by horrible people to divide us, to brainwash people. And what do we do about it? Knowing this now, a majority of Americans believe social media is bad for the country. So what do? We log on. We log on. That's our biggest problem. And if we do fail as a nation, it will be because we failed to act on what we knew was wrong. We know social media. Honey, social media is wrong. It's wrong. I barely participate. I know you follow me at Twitter and Instagram, and I post stuff just for you all. Because guess what? I could live without social media. I could totally live without it. I do not need it. I can stay in touch with my friends via phone, via text, via Zoom, whatever. I don't need Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I don't need to give away my photos. I could sell them. You don't need to give away all your life on social media. You don't. And yet you do it, and you do it knowing that the platforms that you're giving it to are bad for our country. Then who's to blame? Who's to blame? Zuckerberg, the head of Twitter, the head of Instagram. Who's to blame if we keep using platforms that we know are destructive? Well, that's the American way, right? We eat food that we know is bad for us. We smoke and we know it's bad. We drink too much and we know it's bad. In fact, we often know what needs to be done and don't do it. So today we talked about needing optimism in all situations. We need some optimism. We talked about the new poll of social media saying it's bad, it's divisive, and yet Americans are doing nothing about it. We talked about the GOP still having air and all media still reporting on them, still talking about them, and not just a little, it's all they talk about. It's like they won the election. So take today and take my fears and my horrible weekend and learn. Learn that, A, you must look forward with optimism or all you will see is doom, gloom, and it will be bad for you. Learn that you don't need to pay attention to the GOP or Donald Trump anymore. You need to start making them irrelevant. Well, what if others don't? We'll defeat those others. Show up en masse during elections to make sure no Republican ever gets elected again. Kick them out. Delegitimize the party. And where does that start? In the media. The media makes them legitimate every time they report on whether they fart or not. I am so tired of hearing about the diarrhea that comes out of Ted Cruz or just insert name here. You know, Madison Cawthorn's cute. I'd totally screw him. But he'd have to be quiet and then leave immediately. Wheel himself right out the door. I would even help him out. And if there wasn't a wheelchair ramp, I'd throw him down the stairs like in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. But still, he's hot. But he's evil. So I guess he's not hot. I guess I'm just joking about that. He's not hot. He's evil. All right. I am Carell. You be what you want to be, unless it hurts somebody. Be who you want to be, unless it hurts somebody. I almost forgot my catchphrase. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, unless it hurts somebody. But I remembered it, thank goodness. Don't have the Alzheimer's yet. Don't have to worry about that. And don't forget to follow me on social media if you do use it. And if you just follow a few people on it or whatever and don't be brainwashed. And also, don't forget to give at patreon.com/Carell. patreon.com/Carell. All right, I'll be back on Wednesday. Mwah! Much love to you. Wednesday, we're going to have a cooking show along with some topics. And Friday, we're going to talk to an expert about superheroes and why they always seem to come around right when we need them. Until then, stay safe. I love you bunches. I love you. I love you. I do. I thought about you guys this weekend. I did. When I was all like, I thought, I love my fans. I love my listeners. I don't want to die.